Welcome to the Coffee Break, everybody. It is the 30th of April, the final day of April, 2020. Hope you got your Joe. Nice to see you. We got Marshman in the fishbowl. We've got Peter staring directly into the sun. We've got Solbu, EP9, Robbie, and live from the Matrix, it's Ron Morissette. Hey, guys.
I've got to go check Ron's background there. Oh, boy. That looks scary. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Get that off of the screen there, Ron. That's a lady in a red dress.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Thank you.
You just have to see the obvious. There is no cup.
There is no what?
Coffee cup.
I'm slow today. I'm so sorry. I'm slow today. I'm not picking up
all Matrix there. References. All Matrix references.
Oh, got it. Okay. Got it. Okay. Now, for some reason, everybody is
joining us.
For some reason, everybody has disappeared off my screen. I don't know.
Well, we can hear you, but you are frozen solid. But luckily, you have a glorious smile at the moment.
Well, there we are. We're all back.
And he's back. Yep.
And everybody else came back as well. Don't ask
typically,
me
if video
wrong.
If video's going to freeze, it's going to be when you're like.
Yeah.
A glitch in the Matrix.
Must be what it is. It's all your fault, Ron. It's all your fault.
We're just going to be filled with Matrix references now.
Well, I can't tell whether is that. That looks like your actual background. It doesn't look like a made-up background. Oh, yes, it does. It just changed.
Wait.
I just saw it.
Is that Bo Lechnowski? Is that Bo Lechnowski or is that Agent Smith?
Yes.
Just one more reference.
Oh, man. We just can't help ourselves, can we? We just can't help ourselves.
All right, I learned something this week. HDMI couplers.
HDMI connectors don't work.
Are not the way to do it. Yeah, okay. Remember I told you guys, I thought I would give it a shot because for like $150 each, I can get an HDMI extender. And that would allow me to run Ethernet cable for HDMI 4K from the cameras in the studio. But I thought, okay, well, what about trying something cheaper to see if it works? And I got these little $5 couplers. It's like a 2-pack for 10. And it did not work. No.
You get what you pay for, Robbie. You get what you pay for.
But the idea was that it would allow you to plug the camera into this coupler and then that coupler into a 15-foot or 30-foot HDMI cable.
Were there not enough bandwidth in it?
Yeah, they're supposed to be 4K compatible, Peter, but they definitely were not. So on the screen, it was just all garbled and it just looked like a mess. So that's not going to work. But the good news is it gave me a new search query because I was looking at HDMI extenders, right? Because that's the only thing I'm familiar with. Which converts it to, so you have a transmitter and a receiver, and then in between you have a Cat 6 cable, right? So they're $150 each for the cheap ones. And this is because it's 4K, not 1080p, mm-hmm. so you pay a bit more. The little couplers gave me a new search query, which was HDMI repeater. And so I used that as a search query on B&H, and for $30, they've got a powered repeater. So it's basically exactly like the coupler. Plug one HDMI in here, plug another HDMI here, and it acts as a repeater, but it's powered.
And what's in between? Is there an Ethernet cable, a Cat 5 cable in between, or is it just a coupler?
HDMI to HDMI, but powered.
Okay.
Whereas the $5 ones were passive. Mm-hmm. So, So I'm hoping that means it's going to give me the bandwidth and the signal strength, and they are rated for 4K 60. So I ordered four of them, and we'll hope that they get here fairly quickly because last night was really tough.
Did you open up the passive ones to see what was inside? I'm betting there's literally
no. I'm just
wire
no, I clicked
to wire.
On the, Yeah, no, I clicked on the return button very quickly, not before giving it 1 out of 5 stars. I also posted a picture of it, how it came up on the screen.
Well, the question is, did you exceed the normal length for an HDMI cable?
I did not.
By adding the coupler. Oh, so it should have worked.
No, the coupler says that it will do up to 40 meters.
Yeah, and but is that normal for HDMI, though? If you did not have a coupler, what's the maximum length you could do?
I think what I remember hearing years ago when I started doing 4K was 50 feet is kind of the end of the line before you have to power something. But I wasn't even doing 50 feet. Yeah. Mm. I think I had 2 15-footers. So.
And yet these things were advertised at 40 meters or something? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
40 meters is 120 feet.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know. You know how these things are on Amazon, right? Like, it'll say in the description it's 4K, and then in the bottom it'll be 480p. Like, you just got to read everything.
I bet you it's literally just wires running from one connector to the other and nothing else in between.
But there's such cheap wires. There's such terrible wires that it doesn't even work.
That's there before you go on air. So
that's exactly what I did. So that's why I was broadcasting from my production studio last night instead of the main studio. I couldn't run the cables into the main studio. But it was like a last-minute dash because I was going to broadcast from Studio E. And then, of course, just before the show is when I was testing everything, and it didn't work. So I had to come up with a solution, which was to put all the put the camera and the lighting in my little office and broadcast from there, because the cable then could reach the server directly without having to extend it. So that's what I did. Hey, I did a search for Peter's Inno setup, so I know what that is now. And it really reminds me, are you familiar with NSIS or Nullsoft Installation System or something like that? Remember Nullsoft, the creators of Shoutcast?
No.
Oh, okay. They made Shoutcast. Winamp was another popular application. So they created one called NSIS, which was the Nullsoft installer system or something like that, and it's a Windows installer that was a scriptable installer system. That's what I used to use. Windows days,
I used to use something called Create Install. It is a Russian installer. It's still being developed 17 years ago or something, 18 years ago, I did a Norwegian translation, and I sent the developer a copy. And in return, he gave me a lifetime key for the program.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The other thing, Robbie, most people Linux, but I couldn't get it to work on Linux for some reason. And I also found the problem in my audio. If the speakers were duff in the laptop, they tones were crooked, and it was all distorted. We put a new pair of speakers in, plugged them in, and the audio was lovely. It's just the speakers in the laptop was dead.
Oh, okay. So all this time, the audio problems Peter was having was because the speakers built into the laptop were no good. So you plugged in external speakers, and it worked okay?
Yeah, we do.
Here we are looking at it from a programmatic standpoint, saying, "Oh, we don't know how to do it, Peter." And it turns
geeks. That's what we do, right?
Well, yeah. So we got to back up a little bit, retrace our steps, and say, "Did you remember to plug in the speakers? Mm-hmm. Did you try turning it off and on again?"
If the nurses once over, the sisters once over, nursing sister gave it to me. So I did a repair for it, but she did supposed to change up to Windows 10, and we got powerful enough, so I got given to it. But the speakers are tough in it. They just combs are crooked or something on it. You know, the combs are not right. So I plugged in extra speakers with an amplifier, and it works all right after that.
Good. Glad to hear it. Yeah. So, those of you watching, if you have no sound, make sure you plug in your speakers. They probably
always start at the physical level.
Or make yes, sure the speakers exactly. in, or make sure the speakers in the laptop actually work like you expect yeah. them to.
It's funny that you say that, Ron, because I've actually had customers who have said that their computer wasn't working, and then it ended up being that it wasn't plugged in.
The power strip is off. Last night, not plugged in, or
so. Last night on the show, everybody's speakers were out, Robbie.
During Becca's second segment, I still never figured out what went on there. The second segment, there was no sound. But then when I loaded the file into DaVinci Resolve afterward, there was sound. So when we were broadcasting live, I thought, oh, maybe I had accidentally muted the wrong channel. Because I did include those, the UFO videos. I included those in the newsroom. So I thought, oh, maybe when I muted the sound on those, maybe I accidentally muted the sound on Becca too. But I didn't. So never figured it out. But it's good on demand, so you can watch the videos.
One thing I will tell you, Robbie, real quick, even I really don't want to, you know, linger on this, but I did find that watching the live broadcast on the Roku, at least, I don't know if anyone else is using the Roku, but you're very jerky it's like the refresh rate on the screen is much lower than it used to be.
I hope
Studio
that
D was fine, but Studio E, it's noticeable.
I really hope he's not saying that I was actually coming across as being jerky.
No.
Wow, Robbie's got a bad attitude tonight.
That wasn't it.
I'll try Roku next week.
But I did not say anything because I did not want to detract from the show. You were having enough issues yesterday. You didn't need me to pile more on. But I have noticed that since Studio E, and I thought it might be something to do with the feed or something. I don't know. But anyway, I just want to throw it
next week.
Good to know.
I'll try it on Roku next week.
Please do. Yeah, I'm interested to see if any other Roku uses.
The only thing with Roku and was Studio D was the lag time was incredibly long.
But I don't care about lag if I get good, smooth video. But it wasn't buffering or anything like that. It's literally just
low frame rate.
Very slow frame rate. It acted like a very low resolution. Every other frame was coming through or something.
So it was the original, like I made the comment, it was the original series originally.
Yes, it was just like season one.
Yeah. It was appropriate, but I didn't want to say anything, you know, because you were dealing with enough.
Yeah, we'll have to do some testing. I know we did have, we had Wirecast locked up a few times, and I figured it out during the first segment. So before I restarted Wirecast, it was actually because remember how at the beginning, if you were watching live, I shut off the servers and everything. Because I didn't want the ambient noise.
Yes.
So Wirecast had a bunch of assets that were loaded on the server. So when I shut down the server, it actually lost access to those files. So when it was like stopping, it was because it was having trouble accessing network assets.
Okay.
So the second time when I reloaded it, I actually removed those assets before going live.
If those fans are so loud in the producer's room now.
Yeah.
Is that generating a bunch of heat as well? I mean, are those fans running loud because they have to cool that much? How's the air conditioning holding up? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's notably warmer in the producer's room than in the main studio.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Not surprised.
But not uncomfortable. But yes and no. The fan on the backup drive is really loud. Like but it's only got two hard drives in it. And so it seems like it could probably get away without a fan. But what I've done instead is April 16th, I think it was, I ordered off Amazon a silent fan, an 80 millimeter silent fan. So I'm going to replace that. It's just a standard PC 80 millimeter fan
with
three pins. So, so I'll replace that. That should quiet things down.
Good deal. Could you do something like measure the temperature in the box and then turn the fan off if it gets too warm? Could you get something?
Different? I don't know how a Dell server handles that. So the Dell server, it's like the fans are automatically spun up as needed. But in the backup, I'll just replace the fan, or I could even put a resistor on the fan and slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, but then you'll slow down that airflow as well, so the fan won't be cooling as well as it should be.
Absolutely, but as I was thinking, it's only got two drives in it, and it's just a backup drive, so mm-hmm. it's only really doing anything once a day when the backup takes place, or when I eject the drive and plug it back in again.
It makes you wonder why it's working so hard that it needs such fast, you know, hard working fans.
I don't think it is. I think it's just not PWM. It's just it's spinning at maximum velocity, and it's probably just a cheap fan. So
those Dells are noisy.
The Dells are too. Dells are
noisy. I remember when me and Eric in 2016, when we were replacing our two user with a new one year, and we were at the data center, and they helped us install the drives, and because we bought a used server from them. And then it turned out they had to one of the drivers was bad, so one of them drove down the street to the vendor and got a new one. And when in the office they shut down the computer, all three of us simultaneously just sighs. Quite noisy.
The one I gave you, the bit I gave you, Robbie, that had a very loud fan in, who's even loud in the dog. My friend's got a bit bald, he's got a wig, and he was in by, and the thing went up. I said he'll blow his wig off because it was so loud and so much wind was coming out of the city thing. I put all the fans and everything then, and then he'll wind down. Then the machine went bunk, but I put on fans and everything now because it's just very noisy in my room. It's very, very noisy. You can't hear what it was.
Yeah. Servers can be super loud. Like that. Like Bill said, the Dell server is just, like, especially when you fire it up. Solbu, you know. As soon as you fire that thing up, it's like, it silences itself after a few minutes, but it's still really loud. Yes, yeah.
you want to watch a VMS what is it called? Vax machine starting up. The thing is rack mounted. This particular one was a high availability unit, and we actually would shut it down unless we really needed it at, you know, two or three jobs ago, because every time it started up, there was a huge set of fans at the very top of the rack. So all the units were stacked, and then these fans acted as cooling for all of them. And so the moment you cranked it up, all four fans cranked up to full speed.
Wow.
And I wondered if it was going to work like a drone and lift the whole thing up and zoom away or something. It was that loud. It was like a jet starting up.
Dark cold as well.
You know what I'd love to do would be to buy a 3 or 4U chassis, and then like install like an i7 or something like that in it, and a whole bunch of SSDs. Super silent.
We had we did exactly that. Eric, in 2006. He placed our first server in a data center, and it was a full desktop chassis. And the next week, we got a deal on the vendor. The data center had used 2U chassis that we could have.
2U is pretty thin, though. So were you able to put the cooler in? Or did you have to get a smaller cooling system?
The one thing that we had to tweak was the VGA card. The VGA card required
low profile.
It was not a low profile the card, so we had to. We had a friend who lived near the data center. He took the server home, and he wrapped the fastening metal thing at the end, and he twined it around the edge of the so that VGA card is never again leaving that chassis.
Yeah, these days one of the most sorry go ahead
I use 250 gigabyte SSD drives in all my servers. I've got like three or four servers.
Nice.
And then the only ones that make noises is the data ones when they go around. You know, that's the only thing that makes horrible noises. When you use SSD Squire, I think it gives the noise down because I don't hear anything. There's too much noise around. But
yeah.
Very cheap, you know, they're only the small ones, but you didn't really need because I was pointing to all the other SSD drives you and they were me. I used.
The SSDs won't only be quieter but also a lot cooler, I would expect. So,
bloody quicker as well.
Yeah, definitely quicker. For my server, though, it's pretty much only file storage, other than I do have some virtual machines running on it. I've got VirtualBox on it. But it doesn't really need a lot of juice. Though if I had a more powerful server, I think I'd probably like install my website and back-end architecture on a virtual machine. I think that would be really nice.
So I'm guessing you wouldn't use an SSD for... hard drive intensive type work, you know, lots of region.
Well, I would use an enterprise SSD for that. Okay. Yeah.
And the difference is
price.
Yeah.
Oh, the biggest difference with the enterprise versus the consumer drives, I would say, is the how much data can be written and read from it. Before the drive is subject to failure.
I think
enterprise drives also are meant to be run 24/7 with heavy workload.
Yeah.
Whereas a consumer drive is meant to be like powered on and powered off when you're done and not be writing to it continually.
The Kingston ones, are they consumer ones? I got a couple there too, 50 meg Kingston ones. Are they consumer ones, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Are they consumer ones, Robbie?
What's that?
I think he's asking if the Kingston SSDs that you push on the show, are they consumer or enterprise level?
Both. If you go onto our website, category5.tv, do a search for Kingston, and I would say, what would be a good search query? Just do a search for Kingston Enterprise. And you'll see, we've talked about both, but I've had an interview about the data center, the DC400s, I believe. So those would be the ones I'd be putting in. So
I think one is just plain ones. I think one's just plain. I think mine is just a plain normal one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it depends on your workload. It depends on what you're doing. Like in my website, for a web server, I'd want to have DC drives for sure. In a data center as well.
I don't think the workload is very heavy on mine. Anyways, when I want to access, I use a file server when I want to access files. And then not very often. So in the computer program state, the programs I wrote, stuff I wrote, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds and books for Mary and
so I did want to pick up on one other item that we talked about yesterday that we didn't get to finish talking about, and that was that was not a big deal. It was just
this is the conversation I had to cut short, and we're like 3 minutes to having to stop.
This is going
to
be a real short comment. Don't worry about it. But I did want to make a really important point: is that Git, like other source control systems, like CVS and like Subversion, if you're familiar with those, is a source control or a text versioning system. It's not meant as a backup solution. In yesterday's conversation, some of us, and I don't want to, I don't even remember who it was. Somebody said it was a
good
backup or something.
Solvu was talking about Etsy
Solvu,
backup.
It's all your fault, man. Don't use it as a backup solution. It's not.
It's not only an additional safety measure against typos or accidental.
I get that.
And then you could
use
check
RDIF.
And then you also can push if you have a bare create a bare empty repo on an external server that you control, then you can also push to that so that in the event
you can only back up to the point where you last checked in, though. So if you don't check in very often, then it's not very useful to you.
Yeah, but the etc keeper, it runs a cron job daily.
Okay. So you've got up to last night's version. Yeah. You can always
and
back
it's,
up
it's,
to
it's
that.
It's better than not having
I get it. Just don't let that be the only backup, because while I have Git repositories, I back them up just like I do all my other files.
Sure. I think I called it Etsy backup, but you're right, Solbu, it's called Etsy keeper. So maybe it's the perspective is not a backup solution, but more of, like Solbu just mentioned, if I screwed up my config, I can easily revert it to a just like my commits on my Git repository, right?
Absolutely.
I can easily revert a change, because if I'm working on a server, I'm probably using Nano or VI, where I don't always have the capability of undoing what I just screwed up. So
I just wanted to make that point. Don't treat this like a backup solution, because it's not.
Git is not a backup. Got it.
It is a version control system.
Use rdiff-backup. That's the one I love. Check that out if you haven't already. RDIF is a tool that is able to check the difference between files at a bit by bit level.
Okay.
RDIF backup uses rsync in addition to that. So you're able to run a backup at the bit level. So if you modify a file, the backup's usage on the disk is only the size of the change, not the actual file. So
now what do you end up getting on the server? Wherever your backup destination is, what do you get?
You get a full working copy of the backup that you can access the files. However, within that, there's a folder called
right?
Use RDIF Backup is the tool.
Yeah, but how do you get the files back?
Well, you could just copy and paste them if you wanted to. However, using RDIF Backup with the restore options, you can go back in time to any previous date.
Okay.
So you can actually go back to a week ago or a month ago, whatever. So the tool is fantastic. It's like Time Machine for Linux terminal. Yeah. And
at the job I had before I moved here, I had the computer set up to copy the desktop, the office files, spreadsheets, and so on. Because
great use case.
Yeah, that was the only thing we needed. Mm-hmm. And that ran just fine until they decided 3 months after I moved there that, we are going for Windows 10.
Yeah. All right, guys.
The problem. He's going to shut
time's
short
up.
Again, isn't he?
Time's
oh,
up.
Man.
See you later. Have a wonderful afternoon. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's coffee break. Be here. And this one will be up super quick because of the API. So watch for it. You watch how quickly it goes up.
Wow.
So nice to see everybody.
Bo just disappeared. Look at him. He's gone.
He's
bye,
like,
mate.
Oh, well, Robbie's wrapping it up,
done.
So I'm out of here.
Hey, Jens Smith is coming. We need to go.
Take it easy, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye.